Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
He's going to go somewhere other than the Patriots. What interests you?
Nowhere. Nowhere. Like, I just don't think it fits.
Call me crazy, but I feel like Tom Brady's not going anywhere.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
Dale Arnold.
We are now the Las Vegas Raiders.
Knock on wood if you're with me, okay?
Rich Keefe.
You think you can fight a grizzly?
Why? The key with fighting a bear is you got to make yourself big.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Gritty faces a police investigation.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. We'll talk NBA basketball with Kendrick Perkins just about an hour from now. But we want to turn our attention back to the Patriots for just a moment and where things stand in their offseason, which is nowhere.
I know, but there's still like a, there's always like a daily update, right?
Yes.
There's always a little something, like nothing's changed, but there's, but something, right? There's always somebody that has an opinion, perhaps an informed opinion or whatever it might be as we try to piece together the next 2 months. Actually, well, less than 2 months now. So see what's happening with Tom Brady.
And similar, in a way, similar to, we said, you know, maybe the Red Sox are holding some secret discussions we don't know about
right.
with managerial candidates. Maybe the Patriots and Tom Brady have had some sort of discussions about what's going to happen in this offseason.
Maybe.
Not that I know of.
I think it's too soon for that. They still have a whole, the whole month of February they can talk.
But do they?
Oh, wait, why?
That's the question.
Oh, huh?
So here's the deal. The so-called legal tampering period in the National Football League begins March 16th.
Right.
That's when you can contact players who are going to be free agents and express your interest and your undying love in bringing them to your organization.
You sure can.
On March 18th, Tom Brady and other unrestricted free agents in the NFL will become free agents and can legally go sign with anybody they want.
Right.
So the question becomes, how long will the Patriots wait before they make some sort of a move to figure out what's going on with Tom Brady? Earlier today, Adam Schefter was appearing on Get Up, and he said the Patriots are probably going to want an answer sooner rather than later.
As I said to D. Woody this morning, it is January 23rd, and we are talking about where the greatest player in NFL history is going to be playing in 2020. And maybe it is New England, even though there's plenty of reason to think that it won't be. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But we don't know the future of the greatest player in NFL history. And that in and of itself to me is just highly intriguing, at the very least, mind-blowing at another level.
And even more significant, because I made this point yesterday. We talk about this because we've been a while as though it's something that is way out into the future. But you said in our meeting this morning, free agency starts mid-March. We'll know before then, you think.
Well, here's the situation. I don't believe the New England Patriots are waiting till March 16th to get an answer from Tom Brady. Right? Last year, Rob Gronkowski wound up retiring in late March. Now, I don't know the conversations they didn't have before, but New England missed the window on free agent tight ends. So I don't think that they're going to let Tom Brady go to free agency, all of a sudden sign with Team X, and then on March 20th say, well, what do we do at quarterback now?
Ding, 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 ding.
But they, it might not
they,
be there.
They made a mistake last year. They did not want to put pressure on Rob Gronkowski, reportedly. You know, you take your time, you make your decision. And the timing of when he did make the decision, I think, hurt the Patriots.
I think, yeah, and they screwed themselves.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. I'm blaming themselves. And I think they are not going to let that happen with the most important player on a football team. They're not going to say, Tom, you take your time. You know, this is your decision.
Yep.
You know, I know you've earned the right to free agency. You let us know that they can't do that.
Well, they might have to, though. It might be out of their controls.
In which case, they're going to move on.
And then that's a mistake, isn't it? If so, if you need to sign with us before March 16th or you're gone, and he says
that's what I think is going to happen.
So then that would be a mistake on their part, because then they get to March 16th and he goes and he's able to listen to other teams and there's no guarantee he's going to go anywhere. And then he, for the first time in 20 years, has that opportunity to talk to other teams, find out how many years, how much money, what their game plan is, who they're going to bring in, who they already have, all this other stuff. And you're not going to let him get there, so you're playing a game of chicken. And then what? You're prepared to go to who? Jarrett Stidham?
Yeah. Well, don't you? And whether that means, okay, let's go get Teddy Bridgewater, or let's trade for Andy Dalton.
That's just it. And I think Schefter is right. Of course the team would like to have an answer prior to March 16th. Of course they would. But guess what? Here's a player who specifically put into his contract, you can't franchise me, so he has the power now. And if you want to play that game of chicken, okay, fine. But then you might have to be prepared to lose. And now you go into, and what if Brady does come back? And what if it's not even that crazy? What if he goes around, the teams are, and they're all like, hey, we'll give you, you know, $44 million for 2 years. And the Patriots say, well, you know what, we could probably do that. And he says, well, I'll play for this. But you let that go, and now you're telling him, no, we don't want you. I mean,
I don't think it's that. Assuming this is the scenario that Schefter played out, you don't even ask him if you don't want him. You let him go to free agency. We're good.
But I would imagine that they ultimately will want him.
Sure. I agree with you.
I think they only want him for a year.
But see, I don't think you can do at the quarterback position what happened at the tight end position last year, where all of a sudden when Gronk finally made his decision, and I can tell you that within the organization, that decision surprised a lot of people. They thought he was playing again
How you could possibly be caught with because your pants
of the
down.
No, I'm not saying that you let it happen.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is the way he was training, what he was doing in the offseason, he was training to play. They thought he was going to play, and then all of a sudden it was, whoa, right. What?
But then the argument there is, all right, you missed out on Jared Cook, who you also apparently kind of went after a little late. And also the timetable is a little bit different because Gronk, free agency was going on,
right,
and they weren't really sure. That won't be the case with Brady because you have that sort of legal period and all that other stuff. So they're going to try to get something done. But wouldn't you be surprised if at this point Brady agreed to a deal before he had to?
Maybe he is absolutely committed to, you know what, I want the dog and pony show. I want to be wined and dined. Yeah. I want to make the visits.
For the first time ever.
For the first time ever. He's got the right. Yeah. I'm not suggesting that he shouldn't be doing this. But if he gets to that stage, in your opinion, what are the chances he comes back here?
Very low.
Exactly.
Yeah, very,
so if
very,
you're,
very
if
low.
You're Belichick, you're saying, like, if that's what he wants to do, chances are good he's not coming
but
back here.
It has happened before where they have told Devin McCourty and Dante Hightower and maybe another, I guess Edelman to a lower level because at the time he wasn't a star yet. And they said, all right, go ahead, hit free agency, but let us know. Before you sign with them, let us know and we'll see what we can do. And that made McCourty at the time the highest paid free safety in the league. We all know the Patriots don't want to make Brady the highest paid quarterback, but I don't know if another team necessarily would either. $35 million a year is a pretty significant number for a 43-year-old quarterback, as good as he is. So I just think if they want to play it that way, it just feels different because Brady has given in the past, right? Like all of his contracts, it seems like he has kind of given in.
Although
or they've
this
been a little bit more
different, doesn't it?
It feels much different.
Yeah.
That's why I think that if they go to him and say, hey, sign right now or we're going to have to go in another direction. I don't know if you want to do that because then he's just going to go in another direction. So it goes back to how badly do you want him and what really is your backup plan?
We heard the TMZ audio. Well, you sort of heard it. You couldn't really
hear
it.
Yeah, he's getting into his car, Kraft.
You basically heard that, you know, what Robert Kraft shouted to TMZ was, you know, we hope to.
Plan to.
We plan to. That's right. We plan to. You're going to bring Tom Brady back? We plan to. Well, to me, as I said, that indicates, first of all, we means he and Bill Belichick and maybe Jonathan as well. They've already discussed this internally. This isn't like they're sitting around saying, look, we'll get to that in March, okay? You know, we got other stuff. I got to go to the Senior Bowl. We'll talk about quarterback later.
Yeah, because one thing...
They've had discussions.
I disagree with Peter King on from a couple of weeks ago was when he said Belichick is going to look at Brady in free agency the same way he looks at McCourty. And so I'm like, no.
No,
you just can't. First of all, it's a quarterback, let alone the greatest quarterback of all time. Like, so you can't. And you know Kraft's not going to look at it the same. There are certain guys on the roster that Kraft doesn't even know, right, until they sign with a team. He's like, all right, I'll go meet this guy. But Brady's obviously a whole different level. And I don't know. I think the whole plan to thing, you could read into that way. You could also read into it as, yeah, we plan to. Like, we plan to offer him $20 million, and our plan is he'll take it. But, like, there's a whole other side. There's a whole other side of that camp. Like, both Brady could want to be on the Patriots, and the Patriots could want him to play for them. But that doesn't mean it's going to happen, because there's obviously years and money that are at play, too.
There's only one team that can have actual salary discussions with Tom Brady right now.
Yeah.
And you know, Tom, give us an idea. You know, at least give us a ballpark. You know, is it $25 million a year? Is it $30 million a year? Do you want to be paid as a top five quarterback in the league? I mean, they're the only team, and I'm not saying it doesn't happen behind the scenes. We're not naive here, mm-hmm. and we know that back channel things happen. But the Patriots can actually say, what'll it take?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, today, tell us what it takes.
Right. And they can figure it out from there.
And even though he says, well, you know what? I really want to go to free agency first, and then we'll figure it out. I think you got your answer. I think your answer at that point is, I think I'm going somewhere else.
Well, I mean, again, we've seen guys hit free agency, test the market, and then come back. And I just don't know if the Patriots, though, would be willing to go with a competitive enough offer.
It's a valid question.
And then if it just comes down to that, and he wants to see this whole thing play out, because I would assume that he does, in fact, want to see what these other teams are really offering. And then the other part about the Patriots is, it's not just how many years and how much money do they have, but they need to be able to convince Brady that next year will be different than this year. The offensive line will be better. The receivers will be better.
Absolutely.
The running game
and
will
all
be better.
And all of those how do you do part of the discussion, right?
And I don't know how you guarantee that, though. Like, it's easy to say, you know what, Tom? We're gonna make a real push for Odell Beckham. All right, well, what if they don't trade him? We're going to make a real push for this guy. All right, what if they don't trade? You know, we're going to use our draft pick on that. Like, you can say things, and they might all be well-intentioned, too. Like, that might be your plan. Sure. We're going to get Stephon Diggs. I don't know. What if you don't? Now
what if Minnesota
back?
Doesn't trade him?
Exactly. So then Brady's back with the exact same supporting cast as this year. I think he'd be miserable.
This also feels different than most contract negotiations, because generally speaking, you know how this works. You know, the team goes in and offers less than they're going to be willing to pay, and the player asks for more than he really thinks he's going to get, and mm-hmm. you meet in the middle somewhere. This almost feels like the Patriots are obligated to start with their best offer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Don't John Lester
no,
this thing.
Don't mess
gone.
Around. Yeah. Hey, how about a year at $15 million? What do you think? Huh?
That's why I would be afraid if it's like Adam Schefter is saying, and you go to him on March 1st, and you say, listen, Tom, like, here's what we're doing. And if you present it as a take it or leave it, well, he might leave it. And then what's your plan? Like, yeah, all right, you got the better of him there, but who's your quarterback? And last year, if you want to compare it to the Gronk thing, first of all, we all agree they usually like having two tight ends anyway. So even if Gronk was coming back, you would have made a hard push for a second tight end.
Yeah.
But the report is Jared Cook wasn't sure if how big a part of the offense he would be if Gronk was here or not. All right, so that's one player that you missed out on. If they don't bring back Brady, is there a quarterback that they really like that's a free agent right now? I don't know if there is. And if there is he going to be gone in a day? Like, is he going to get snapped up in a day?
Yeah, most people think Teddy Bridgewater is going to make a crap ton of money. He was the highest paid backup in the NFL last year.
And then went, what, 6-0 as a starter. So he's going to make a lot of money. And then you have to add in the dead cap number, right? That's the other part of the Brady contract negotiations. Or who the future quarterback is. You have to factor that in. And I think a lot of the guys, too, like Dak Prescott's going to stay in Dallas. I think Ryan Tannehill's going to stay in Tennessee. I think, you know, maybe Phillip Rivers and Jameis Winston, like, flip teams or something. You know,
right.
Rivers goes to Tampa or whatever it is. So, I mean, that list isn't going to be super long. Unless there's a guy that they really, really like. And, I don't know, are you just afraid that he's going to be gone that day? Or if that player knows that, hey, the Patriots are in the mix, I could come play for Belichick and McDaniels. Wouldn't that player wait a day?
And that's the other part of this whole thing from the Patriots' perspective. If you want to be a player out there to lure some big name free agent, wide receiver, tight end in here, don't you have to have the quarterback component locked up first?
I think for the
how do you go sell yourself to so and so? Well, you know, it might be Stidham. I don't know. Maybe we'll get Dalton. I mean, we're still working this through.
I think that is definitely a factor for you know, veteran type guys, I think the money is still the most important thing, right? So if you are able to put together a deal and you make wide receiver or tight end X, and you're just going to pay more than other teams, because guess what? We've seen every year, like Adam Humphries, for example. Adam Humphries was like, I'm going to Tennessee. And at the time, everybody's like, really? You're going to go play with Marcus Mariota in Tennessee over Tom Brady and Patriots?
Good luck with that.
Or Cole Beasley. Cole Beasley went to play with Josh Allen and the Bills, but both actually kind of worked out. Both teams did pretty well. So I think even if the Patriots say, you know, right now we're unsure of our quarterback, but here's a ton of money, here's Belichick and McDaniels, I think you could still get some free agents. Maybe not all of them, you know, because Odell Beckham, some of the bigger name guys all seem to be like, have to be traded, right? We went through the list of free agent wide receivers. I think the guy that's going to get the most money is Amari Cooper. And he's good, but I don't think that's even one that's like, you know, the greatest addition ever.
Now, here's the other part of this entire equation, which is still way up in the air. We have no idea what Bill Belichick thinks of Tom Brady as a quarterback right now. We know what Robert Kraft thinks of Tom Brady as a person,
right,
and what he's meant to his organization, what he's meant to his personal pocketbook, and all of those things. Does Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels and the offensive staff, they've already had their postseason, you know, post-mortem.
Oh,
they've
McDaniels had to do all the write-ups. That's why I missed all his interviews.
So they've already gone through all of this.
Yeah.
In those papers that are locked away in Burge's desk somewhere, does right. it say, we got to go get another quarterback?
Yeah, that's certainly a question that unfortunately we'll never know. And I just wonder, so say quarterback play is on a scale of 1 to 10. And right now Patrick Mahomes is a 10. You know, Brady from a few years ago was a 10. And you've got to project going forward in the next season. Where does Brady rank, or where does Belichick rank Brady? But also, maybe just as important, where does he rank Stidham? And is that number closer than we all would imagine?
Than we ever would picture.
Right.
You know, has he got Brady at 7 and Stidham at 6?
Then you're like, oh, God. Well, then you could make the change. Because then you have to factor in money and salary cap and you know, other additions you can make to the team. Like, my guess is it can't be that close. But then again, I wonder what he thought of, you know, Garoppolo year two. I think it's pretty clear based on his comments that he was very, very high on him. I don't think he ever thought he was better than Brady, but just, I can win with this. I can win with this guy. And does he feel that way with Stidham? And if that's the case, that would allow you to play out the Brady contract talks a little bit more. Because at the very least, you have Stidham under control. You have him. So, yeah, maybe you miss out on Andy Dalton, or for God's sakes, or somebody like, or Jameis Winston. But you at least have Stidham, and we don't know how he feels about him.
And if Belichick and his offensive staff, and ultimately it's Belichick, if they've decided, you know what, he was great. He was really great, but he's not that guy anymore.
Yeah.
It wasn't just no wide receivers and no tight end and offensive line issues. A big part of the problem was him.
Right.
Let's say that's the case. Aren't they also saying, well, doesn't that change how we approach the offseason with the draft?
I would think.
Aren't we looking at different players in the Senior Bowl now than we might be looking at otherwise?
Yeah.
For years and years, they didn't really give much of a crap about the quarterback position at the Senior Bowl.
And that's why, you know, in the first time, I mean, they had a couple of third round picks that were surprising. You know, Kevin O'Connor and Ryan Mallett, those were surprising. Garoppolo, though, was the one you're like, oh boy, like they are really preparing for this. And then Brissett the next year, you're like, well, all right, well, now they're starting to do a little bit more on quarterbacks. But that's pretty significant, both how they feel about Brady. And we'll already know this answer by the draft, because the draft's in April.
Oh, by the draft.
So we'll know that.
We'll know by March 16th.
But I think what we will learn about is how they feel about Stidham at the draft.
Yeah.
Because in the first round,
if they take a quarterback in the fourth round or something, and Brady's not here.
Yeah. Or, I mean, if they take him in the first or second round, you're saying, okay, they're not just handing this job to Stidham.
Yep.
Like, they're going with some real competition. And maybe as a first rounder, that guy might even be able to beat out Jarrett Stidham. So there's so many layers to this. And so that's why, again, you start with Adam Schefter saying, well, the Patriots aren't going to let it get this far. Well, it's not entirely up to them. Unless they're willing to really put a line in the sand and say, accept our deal right now, or we're going another direction.
See,
and
I think
that's short-sighted.
I think that they ultimately have to get to that point, if for no other reason, for the financial aspect of it.
Of all the quarterbacks who are available for the 2020 season, who gives you the best chance to make the playoffs?
In my opinion, Brady.
Me too. Brady, and then I guess, I mean, maybe Breeze, but I really don't think he's going anywhere. But let's say, it's one of those guys for 2020. Now, you want to get into 2021 and beyond, then there's probably plenty of other options. It's probably a guy in the draft, actually. But for just next season, and how much is that a goal? I mean, the Patriots have never not been a Super Bowl contender. Under Belichick, outside of the first year, outside of the year 2000, Belichick has always been a Super Bowl contender. Even when Brady went down, you're like, all right, well, the team was just undefeated except for one game last year. Let's see what happens this year. So are they willing to say, you know what, we're not going to bring Brady in next year, and then we're just going to kind of punt on the year? Like, I can't imagine that. I think Belichick goes into every year thinking they're going to be a playoff/Super Bowl contender.
I just think ultimately because of that $13.5 million cap hit.
Yeah, that's big.
And whether or not you can spread that out over 2 years, I think that's why they almost are forced to do that line in the sand thing. If Belichick wants him back,
yeah,
you got to say, Tom, I know you've earned the right to free agency, and I respect that, but I can't put my whole organization behind the eight ball here.
Right.
And as Adam Schefter said, wake up on March 20th and go, holy crap, we don't have a quarterback. Right.
But then on the flip side of that, Brady, can he just take them at their word? Because, again, the way all these dominoes have to fall, and he says, all right, I'm coming back, and I trust you guys to get me a receiver and a tight end and an offensive lineman. And then all of a sudden...
And does he trust them?
And then it doesn't happen.
Yep.
And then... And then you're kind of screwing yourself again if you're Brady. So
does Belichick have to sit across a desk from Tom Brady and say, here's plan A, here's plan B, here's plan C, you know, this is what we want, and this is what you want.
Yeah.
But if that doesn't work out, then we're going after this.
Yeah. And I think also part of that would be the stuff that has started to come out that, you know, Tom Curran and Fourier were talking about. It's just game plan stuff too. Like that's it's part personnel, but it's just, you know, does Brady have more of a say in week-to-week game plans, or is it all kind of McDaniels? And I think that they're going to have a whole back and forth. If there's ever been a room that you want to be in, just listen to the conversation, it would be Brady and Belichick trying to figure out what makes sense for both sides going forward.
And ultimately, it would start with a simple question from Belichick. Do you want to be here?
Yeah.
And if the answer is, I don't know, you got your answer.
Well, I would say yes, but I mean, I don't think it can't be a yes or a no. Like, do you want to be here? Yes, if this happens, like if you're able to get somebody else, because I think both of them look at it and say, if we just trot back the same team next year, you're not beating Kansas City.
No.
You're not beating Baltimore. And maybe, I mean, hell, if Tennessee stays together, you might not even beat them. You need to improve. Like the last few years when they were making the Super Bowl every year, you're like, they just needed to maintain. They just needed to bring. If they got better, great. I mean, that's even better. But they could just—they were already the best team. But after this year, no, they got a lot of work to do.
617-779-7937. Bob's on the cell phone. Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great.
Three quick bullets on why we already know what's going to happen with Brady.
Oh.
Number one, if the Pats really wanted him, they would have signed him to multi-years last year. He played worse this year, so I don't think they're going to bend over backwards.
Well, it's fair to say they could have signed him to a multi-year deal last year, and that gives you your answer already.
Right, good point. I mean, coming off of a Super Bowl, and he wants 2 years, and you say, nah, play out the one, that's a good point.
Right. Yep. Okay, number two, they gave up their second-round pick for Sanu.
Ugh.
That would have been a huge chip to trade up for a quarterback in the draft this year. They gave it up. That tells me they liked Stidham. And number three, they can't afford to sign another big money quarterback with the dead money on Brady. So they're going to draft a quarterback maybe in the fourth or fifth round, have two cheap quarterbacks.
Ugh.
Then they're into maybe under $20 million for the quarterback position. They can spend their money on a ground and pound running game for next year, Stidham at quarterback, and see if they can go 9-7.
Oh, God. Yeah. You might be right, Bob.
Yeah, unfortunately, the case you lay out makes total sense, and it just gives me the shivers.
So I think, though, the one thing I would disagree with them on is when they traded a second-round pick for Sanu, I really do think that was for Brady. I think that was for the offense, and it was for this season. Even though Sanu's under contract for one more year, that was a veteran guy. That wasn't too bad. You got to throw N'Keal Harry. I think they were hoping for much more out of Sanu, and they did not get it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll talk NBA basketball and the Boston Celtics with Kendrick Perkins coming up at the top, or just after the top of the hour. We'll get back to the calls with you in a couple of minutes, but first it's time to trend.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Now back to Dale and Keith, WEEI.
Philadelphia Flyers mascot Gritty is used to the spotlight, but this googly-eyed orange monster is also now under police investigation.
A longtime Flyers season ticket holder says Gritty, the mascot, physically assaulted his son, and now Philadelphia police are involved.
Oh, the humanity.
What is going on?
This is an international story. I'm reading.
This is significant.
I'm reading about this on CBC Sports up in Canada, even as we speak.
Now, last year wasn't there a big mascot story at the Pro Bowl because Jamal Adams took out Pat Patriot.
Yeah.
Remember that was a big deal.
I mean, there were concussion symptoms. It
took him out pretty good. Before we get into the story, I normally, Dale, really like mascot violence. I'm not trying to make light of the situation because it's
mascot on human violence or mascot on mascot violence?
Kind of all of it.
Really?
Kind of all of it.
As long as you're not the guy.
Right, as long as I'm not the guy. But mascots, as soon as you put on the mascot outfit, I feel like you're probably going to get punched, kind of smacked around, that kind of thing. I feel like that's part of the gig.
When my son was at Bowdoin.
Yeah,
he spent a brief part of a semester inside, and I mean, they do take liberties with mascots.
They do. I think it's kind of part of the gig. I'm sorry, right? I'm sorry.
How much are you expected to really put up with, though?
But this story is it serious? What do we got? What do we got going on here with poor Gritty? By the way, where do you come down on Gritty? Because he debuted not too long ago.
He's really good.
You like Gritty?
I mean, I got to say, if you're a mascot fan, he's right up there. So back on November 19th, he's
Santa's lap type of deal.
So evidently, this guy, this longtime season ticket holder, a guy by the name of Chris Greenwell, his son Brandon,
who's 13,
his son Brandon took a picture with Gritty. His son Brandon then patted Gritty on the head and walked away.
A little demeaning, but again, you're a mascot.
Well,
you got to kind of put up with that.
So the mascot got up, took a running start, and punched my son as hard as he could in the head, Greenwell said.
We think this happened?
No, not even a little.
We think in a place where there's a ton of people, all these season ticket holders, there's got to be, I'm sure Gritty has handlers, and he gets up, runs down and punches a 13-year-old
this kid in the head,
in the back of the head, which also kind of flies into the report of this guy Greenwell also later said that his son has a bruised back.
Yeah,
so if you get punched in the back of the head, your back isn't going to bruise, is it?
So evidently, the company that owns the Flyers, which is Comcast Spectacorp, they looked into the incident. Did not have video footage, did not find any evidence of any interaction, and they interviewed Gritty, they interviewed Gritty's handler, And they interviewed others. How would you like to do on your W-2 at the end of the of the year?
Yeah,
occupation, Gritty's handler.
Gritty.
Well, somebody's...
Or just Gritty.
No, Gritty would be much better.
I also love in all these stories that, and I hate to do this because, you know, you want to buy into the character, but the actual human person that portrays Gritty, we don't know that person's name.
Well...
It never comes up, right?
That's actually coming up in a minute
for
me.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right, so here's the deal. He said his son saw a chiropractor. Diagnosed with a back bruise.
I have some audio of the father.
Oh, let's hear.
Because
I'm sure this is a Mensa candidate.
Yeah, let's hear from this gentleman, Chris Greenwell.
He did that on Gritty's helmet, and he walked by. And once he walked by, Gritty got out of his chair. He was sitting the whole time. And then dove at Brandon.
Season ticket holder.
Dove at Brandon. So, yeah, he's from Philly. That's confirmed.
Season ticket holder Chris Greenwell and his son Brandon were at the Wells Fargo Center for the event.
About 8 feet away, he got up and actually lunged at him.
Greenwell thought it was just horseplay, since Gritty is known for antics like this.
And then they show us at the game.
He does a lot of wacky stuff.
He says the 13-year-old had pain and later went for treatment for bruising on his back.
I asked the Flyers, I asked for an apology. I asked for a investigation of why this happened, you know, what was behind it. Maybe Gritty was having a bad day. I don't know. Or maybe this guy even did it to other people.
But Greenwell says that apology did not come. Instead, a long back and forth with an attorney for Flyers ownership. The team sent NBC 10 this statement. We took Mr. Greenwell's allegations seriously and conducted a thorough investigation that found nothing to support this claim.
Greenwell wants to be clear. He does not plan on suing anyone.
Attorney Joe Marone is here. Hi, Joe.
How are you?
Good morning.
Hey, Joe.
So,
hey, Joe.
Were the cameras not working, or they just weren't pointed in the right direction? Do we know?
Well, according to Flyers, they weren't pointed in the right direction.
In the right spaces.
But the more interesting thing is it was a photo op and for season ticket holders, and there's no witnesses to support their story. In fact, if you look at the picture they're complaining about, there's a person in there, a third person, and so where's he at with supporting their story? So the only person that's supporting their story is obviously the father and the son, so it remains to be seen.
So they got nothing.
So here's the deal, okay?
Yeah.
Gritty, by the way, was voted the league's best mascot by the NHL Players Association
March of 2019. You got to say he is the best. He was jarring when he first showed up. People were a little intimidated.
The little googly eyes
thing.
A
little scary. He's very in your face, though.
Here's my...
Bombastic.
Here's my ultimate beef with this whole thing.
Okay.
It's Gritty. It's not a real thing.
What do you mean?
There's a person
Gritty
inside there. Okay. At no point do any of these stories talk about, you know, Bill Smith, who's inside the Gritty costume, or where,
no.
I use
that
name.
Why would you do that to Bill Smith?
I know, he'll get mad at me. Whoever it is,
yeah.
I mean, it's
that's
like
Gritty.
They talk about, like, this is the person.
Yeah, that's like the
this
first
doesn't
line,
exist.
The
it's a mascot
story.
Costume.
Police in Philadelphia are investigating a complaint that Gritty, the Flyers mascot, punched a 13-year-old. And I'm only laughing about it because there's no way this happened. It didn't happen.
No.
Now, is it an inside job? There are some conspiracies out there that, I mean, we're talking about Gritty again. Gritty was very popular for a while. Then kind of we weren't really talking
popular.
About Gritty. Yeah, but we weren't talking about him as much. And now all of a sudden he's punching kids. And by the way, in Philadelphia, they love him.
Philadelphia, they'd want you to punch.
They love him more now.
Too, okay?
They love him more. They're more pro-Gritty now than they've ever been.
I don't want to jump to conclusions, but I kind of wish Gritty had punched this dad in the face.
The dad, yes. The dad, the 13-year-old, leave him alone.
Like square right in the jaw.
Yes. Pop this guy right in the mouth.
And you know what?
Come on,
I would still bet on Gritty's
side. Come on over and punch me.
Listen,
come on.
I don't like the Philly sports teams, but they have the best mascots in sports.
It's not even close.
The Fanatic is the man. And then you got, or woman, or whatever the Fanatic is. And then Gritty. Gritty's great. I love Gritty.
Now, Gritty does some weird stuff.
Of course he does.
And it's part of the act. Again, I point out there is some very talented young actor inside that suit, and good for him. And I hope there are no children listening to us in the car right now who don't know that Gritty's not real.
There's a person inside there.
But all of these stories talk about Gritty like Gritty is a person.
It's a person.
It's not.
It's a monster. What is Gritty? Is he a monster?
It's hard to say.
Like all the Sesame Street characters are monsters, which is great. Gritty kind of looks a little bit like a giant,
he could be on Sesame
like
Street.
An evil Muppet type of thing.
Oh, he'd be too scary.
It's like he'd hang out with Oscar
Street.
The Grouch.
He could hang out with Oscar.
He looks like a gremlin got into like some cocaine or something.
He does look like a orange.
He looks
gremlin.
Like Cookie Monster's drug addicted uncle.
Yeah, Could be.
So this Greenwell, this the dad.
Yeah.
First he wanted an apology, and he wanted them to pay for medical bills. He goes back and forth with the organization, and they say,
"Yeah, he went to a chiropractor to prove that his son had a bruised back."
We looked, honest to God, nobody's seen anything. No, there are no pictures. There's no video. There are no witnesses. So he said. So then Mr. Greenwell took the bull by the horns and said, "I'm going to the police."
Yeah, going to the cops. Yeah, going to the cops. We got a little bit more here from the news people at Fox 29 Philly.
There are the injuries, and what were the injuries that he's claiming, Brandon?
So a week later, he goes to a chiropractor. Apparently, the young boy has some type of sore back or something. There is a provable injury, which obviously kind of adds to it. But, you know, right now, there's a criminal investigation to decide whether or not Gritty committed assault on this boy, given what happened. The only facts you got in the case is the story from the father and the son. There's nothing else, so I don't know how far it's going to go. Plus, I don't think anybody would ever convict Gritty. I mean, there's an outcry all over social media.
You can't charge Gritty.
We love Gritty.
You can't convict Gritty.
Can you imagine?
Gritty isn't real.
How long would Gritty last behind bars, you think? How long?
Forever. Who's going to take on Gritty?
Do you think about 24 hours.
Do you think he would go in there, he would kick the biggest guy's ass that
he would
he
have the warden in his pocket.
It's a good point.
Wait, breaking news on Instagram, AB just posted a photo from his home with Gritty.
Probably, yeah. Come on and get me, coppers.
Do you think,
They're talking about this mascot.
Is there a Gritty mugshot out there yet? Do we have photos of this? They might throw. Can you imagine him sitting in the back of a cruiser going downtown? They're guys, we got Gritty, and then they're all rooting
for
him.
Like the Joker with his head out the window.
Yeah, people love Gritty.
They talk about in all these news stories. The article I was reading on CBC, they're talking about Gritty like Gritty is the person. Yeah.
So what's this guy trying to get out of this? Just more tickets or something? Or like attention?
He says, I'm not renewing my season tickets.
Yeah, great. You seem to be a liar. I don't know. Again, this was not a private party where there was just the three of them. And then Gritty runs. So it's not even like, you know, he was up there, he patted him, and then he like quickly punched him in the leg. You know what I mean? Like one of those, like, and then nobody saw it. According to this guy, he ran, took an 8-foot running start, and then punched his son as hard as he could.
In the head.
As hard as he could in the head, which led to a bruised back. Doesn't really add up to me, but.
So there is a Gritty mugshot.
How's he? Oh, no. Is he all right? How's he? Did he get fingerprinted?
It's
too?
Actually a pretty funny Photoshop of Gritty in front of, you know, that the little sign that's got the height and stuff.
Oh, yeah. How tall is Gritty?
Gritty's seven.
7 feet.
He's a 7-footer?
And he's holding the sign in front of him. It says Philadelphia Police. Gritty, which is probably what you'd get.
Yeah, that's not good.
People are weird.
Oh yeah,
they talk about this mascot.
Shyam tweeted it out.
Like this mascot is a person.
He's 7 foot with the hockey helmet on. I think he's probably more like 6'6". Still a good size.
That's with skates though too. So he must be pushing Chara height, huh?
Yeah. No, he's shorter than Chara. So Chara looks down on
Chara. Chara's 6'9 without skates.
Right. Yeah, no, this guy's a shrimp compared to Chara.
Oh, Lord. All right, back
Hashtag
to the calls.
Free Gritty.
Yeah, I know.
Another intersection of sports and the law, and this one is sad.
What's that Michael McCann on?
Yeah, we'll get him on. You know, if they had this story for Larry the lawyer this morning.
Oh, I know, they should have.
He could have answered this whole thing.
He's representing Gritty now.
By the way, the unreported story from Larry the lawyer this morning. He stressed briefly, for a day or two, represented the alleged jailhouse lover of Aaron Hernandez.
Oh, I know. They played
There's it. A tale to tell.
They played his. Yes. That's on his LinkedIn.
Probably. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Right back to the calls. We'll talk to Kendrick Perkins at the top of the hour. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Dale.
Had to show my respect to the champs.
And Keith.
I'd be buck naked.
This is WEEI.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Kendrick Perkins will join us after the top of the hour. So I have an Eli Manning story designed to change your opinion.
It won't happen, Dale, but I will entertain it.
Jeff Darlington tweeted this out. Jeff Darlington is an ESPN sports reporter. He tweeted out a few hours ago, quote, "The time I realized Eli is who we think he is."
He's definitely who we think I think
I was at a hotel tiki bar at the Pro Bowl in Hawaii.
Brag.
And every player had retreated to get ready for dinner. Eli returns 30 minutes later, gently approaches a dozen bar staff one by one. I ask someone why. They said $100 bill for each of us.
Oh, must be. Well, you also. No, that is nice.
Actually.
That is nice.
Actually, I'm not even going to mock
that. That is nice. But you also mentioned earlier in the program, what NFL player has any NFL player made more money in the history of the league than Eli Manning?
$252 million.
Pretty crazy.
But there are so many players who would
really
not
cool.
do that.
100%. Antonio Brown at the top of the list.
Oh, at the top.
He probably asked them for
not
money.
Only is he not tipping, he ain't paying the tab either.
Oh, that is very nice. That doesn't get him in the Hall of Fame for me, but that is a nice gesture. By all accounts, he seems to be like a pretty good guy.
There was that whole memorabilia scam thing.
Yeah, was
which
he, like,
he got ensnared in.
Yeah, he did. Was he like saying it was game worn stuff when it wasn't?
And it wasn't.
Or he was like, so the autographs weren't all in the up and up or
as
something?
As far as I know, it's the only negative thing I've heard about surrounding Eli. I mean, even Peyton had the, you know, did he get stuff sent to the house? Yeah, I know.
That wasn't him.
You know, Eli doesn't even have any of that.
No, and for a guy in New York, and the quarterback in New York for 16 years, and there's really no dirt on him. Again, I personally hated how he came into the league and hated how he was the number one pick and pouted and all that other stuff, and then got to go to the team that he wanted to go to because his daddy was able to help him out. But as far as once he got there to now, there really hasn't been much at all with Eli Manning. So we'll have to wait now 5 years and then see if those guys. And I'll tell you what, talking to Peter King, and you can listen to that on the WEEI.com if you missed it or our podcast. He said he wasn't sure yet.
By the way, I think most people thought he was going to come on here and say, well, of course he's a Hall of Famer.
He did not, which leads me to think that he would not. As of right now, and again, he has 5 years, and he even pointed out, I don't even know if I'll still be voting in 5 years, but I don't think he would have him in. And I think that he would be right, because I think he's looking at everything, and he's also talking about all the quarterbacks that are playing, all the 2000s quarterbacks, like all the guys that have played over the last 20 years. What number is he? And then you got to ask yourself, how many of those guys really are going to get in? You can't just put in every quarterback.
And at no point during his long career, not a single time, was he considered the best quarterback in the game.
I think you could take it a step further, and there's a good chance he was never top five. Now, you brought up 2011.
Year where at least you could make an argument.
Yeah, I think, especially if you added in the postseason, you could make that argument, but we had a guy, Dan, on Twitter earlier tweet us that all the years that he made the Pro Bowl, there was only one year where it was, you know, three from the NFC. Normally it was so many replacements, guys being injured or guys not wanting to go or guys going to the Super Bowl or whatever it was, and it was just a million alternates. And so essentially a third of the league, if you were a starting quarterback and stayed healthy, one out of three of you, actually better because they didn't all stay healthy. So
right.
Chances are one out of two was able to go to the Pro Bowl. So even that, and he only has four of those in 16 years. And again, the 500 career record, leading the league in interceptions three times, a quarterback
rating. Not the category you want to lead the league in.
No. And so, I don't know. He's not for me. But, you know, he's at least in that discussion. If you win two Super Bowls, you have to be at least in the discussion, but it doesn't mean you're automatically in.
So we said that Eli's career record was 117 wins and 117 losses. As a texter points out, you know, quick math on the fingers, that's 234 games. He made $252 million.
There you go. Not bad.
So he made more than $1 million per game over the course of his NFL career.
That's correct.
He made like over $2 million per win.
Yeah, right. If you want to look at it, you want to look at it that way. Yeah, that is a weird one for the highest paid player of all time. Now, that's another record that will go away.
Oh,
right?
God,
like Patrick Mahomes.
Wait
till
Patrick
couple
Mahomes'
deals, or,
contract comes up in a couple of years.
And that's the other argument, too, is like, well, Manning's top 10 in a bunch of these like stats. It's like, yeah, because he's played a long time. And again, the best ability is availability and all that stuff, but he is going to move down those leaderboards pretty quickly.
Is it going to be a tearful day for the New York media tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, they love him.
They love that guy.
They love him.
They love Eli Manning more than the New England media loves Tom Brady.
You think so?
Oh, God. Never a discouraging word has been said about Eli Manning down there.
No, that's true. Yeah, in a weird way, they were more critical here, even though those guys aren't even in the same conversation.
He'll get publicity for the possibility of being a Hall of Famer, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say he will not get there. I thought initially he would just because he's got two Super Bowl titles. He played in New York. That does it. I think he's not going to make it.
I think he will. I think the Manning name gets you through. I think being the team that defeated the 18-0 Patriots, I think, gets you in. Playing in New York, I think all that kind of – I ultimately think he gets in. Maybe it's not on the first – crack. Maybe, I don't think it's going to be unanimous. It also depends on who's in his corner. Like, if we've learned anything from the Pro Football Hall of Fame,
who makes the pitch?
If they give you a hard sell, that's maybe all it's going to take.
The other thing that somebody brought up on Twitter, I guess, they said, whenever the person makes the pitch for Eli Manning, what they will inevitably do is they'll talk to guys who coached against him. They'll go to Belichick. They'll go to Andy Reid. They'll say, what was it like coaching against this guy?
Right.
And if, you know, if Bill Belichick gives some glowing endorsement, well, I'll tell you right now, man, he was as tough a quarterback as we ever played against.
Right.
You know, that would carry some weight. First of all, I don't think Bill would say that.
No.
His brother was a whole lot harder to play against than him.
Right. Do you think defensive coordinators went crazy the night before they had to play Eli Manning? I don't get that sense. I'm also not a defensive coordinator. You know?
Yeah. You always worry about the quarterback, you know, of any team that you're playing against. But I don't think they sat up nights like you would.
Right.
You know, you're getting ready to play the Kansas City Chiefs right now, and you're trying to think of 18 ways Patrick Mahomes can make you look silly.
Right.
Or Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson.
And so basically because David Tyree, who I don't think ever had another catch after this, was able to stick a ball to his helmet, he's in the Hall of Fame. It's essentially going to come down to that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the Manningham throw was great in the 2011 Super Bowl. That was great. But without that 11 and without the 07 win and without being able to beat the undefeated Patriots, I mean, it sort of kind of comes down to that one kind of crazy fluke play for the people that argue for him to be in.
It will be a sad day in New York. I bet you ESPN, no, they should. I was going to say, I bet ESPN will go to it live. They should. What else are they going to put on in the middle of the day?
Yeah. That's probably. I mean, they put on the John Henry Sam Kennedy press conference live on ESPN last week. That was a miss.
Good. Yep. So you've got all these football decisions coming up that have nothing to do with the football game that's going to be played in, you know, 13 days or 9 days or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing how you've been able to divorce yourself from what is your norm for this time of year. This time of year. I mean, for the Patriots, you were in 9 straight AFC championship games.
Well, last night during the Celtics game, Abby Chin was interviewing
Devin and Jason
McCourty, and she's like, you know, not to kind of, you know, bury you guys, but normally you're playing this week.
Wow.
And Devin's like, yeah, you know, a little bit different, and we'll see what happens. But, I mean, it is. Normally we're getting ramped up for a Super Bowl. And this is a really good matchup, too. I just think a lot of people, it's easy to sort of say, all right, because they're not playing this weekend, you kind of everybody's going to wait till next week to really break that down. But between Mahomes and Garoppolo and Shanahan and Reed, I mean, there's plenty to talk about once we get there.
Now, Devin McCourty has already publicly said that he does not retirement is not in the cards, and he wants to come back. And I think the Patriots will want him back.
Yeah, I wonder how much money he wants because he's been on pretty high paid safety for a while. But
I was to play next year. That surprised me.
Yeah.
And he also said, I can't even picture playing any place other than here. Belichick will have him back in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
First of all, he had a really good year.
He did. I thought he was even better this year than last year. Like, he's one of those guys that if he just shows up, he's going to be a Pro Bowler because he's the special team Pro Bowler. But this year he was good. Like, you remember a bunch of plays that he made, you know, pinning punts down inside the five and all that other stuff. So
he is a legitimate leader. He's a captain.
I predicted that both after the Super Bowl win against the Rams, I thought both Devin McCourty and Slater were going to retire. And neither one did. And it looks like they're going to get at least another season out of it.
So they both have said they want to play next year. They both have said they'd like to play here.
Devin was good. Devin had a good year. So
I think they'd want Devin McCourty back. And I think Slater's a lock.
Yes. Yeah. I think they're probably both back. I think the linebackers are where you get into more of a, you know, Kyle Van Noy, Jamie Collins. Is Collins willing to play? Because he played for, what, $2 million this year?
Probably not going to do that again.
He had a really good first half. He wasn't as good in the second half and in the playoff game. But, I mean, I would take him back. I don't know what it's going to cost. And then, obviously, Joe Tooney, I think. Don't we all view Joe Tooney the way we viewed Trent Brown? Like, he had a good year. He's going to be the highest paid guard, so it's not going to be here. Like, so he's going to be gone. So basically, you're going to take a bad offensive line and remove the best player from that offensive line and tell Brady that, oh, yeah, it'll be better.
No, don't worry. Come on back. We got you. One quick baseball note here. BetOnline has just come out with their over-under numbers for Major League Baseball for the upcoming season.
Yes.
If you were guessing... I'll let this cat out of the bag. The Yankees are the best in the American League East.
Okay.
At 101.5
wow.
wins. That's a lot.
Wow.
What number do you think they've got for the Red Sox?
88.
Ooh, look at you. 88.5.
88.5. Take the under.
They've got them third in the American League East. Yankees first, Tampa Bay second, Red Sox 88.5, followed by the Blue Jays 75.5, Orioles 55.5.
Oh, my God. That's Orioles. So bad. That is so bad. Shime, you like any of those? You guys going to be talking about that on the Winners Club podcast?
Got to make sure to tune in tomorrow morning when it's out tonight.
Snap! You guys, but seriously, though, are you doing baseball over-unders?
Not yet.
Okay.
he didn't even know they were out.
My vote is no.
He didn't even know.
All we did basketball over-unders, though. We're going to take a look at those now
mid-season.
That we're about halfway through the season.
There you go. Smart.
We actually have not discussed any content for this week at all yet.
Oh, it should be a good episode.
Like 2 hours.
Flying by the seat of our pants.
Always the best. At least you did the research.
They've got the Yankees as the number one over-under number in baseball.
Yeah.
At 101.5. Dodgers are second, 98.5.
Makes sense. What's Houston?
Oh, I bet that's not good.
They got some.
Whatever the Red Sox number
is.
They
have more talent, though.
Listen to this.
Yeah.
Houston Astros. Off the board.
What's up with that?
They're the one team. They post a Red Sox over-under. They post a Mets over-under. Houston Astros, it says, off the board.
So is that because they're wondering if... But the league has already said they're not going to punish players. But I guess if you knew that Bregman or Altuve was out for a while, then you would that number would be much different.
I find it weird that they've got the Astros off the board, but the Red Sox have a number up there.
The Astros should still be like 95. Because I don't think A.J. Hinch was the reason why they won so many games. I'm sure he was a fine manager, but their team is loaded. Their rotation, now Garrett Cole's gone.
Right.
But they haven't had him this whole three-year stretch where they've been really good. So I would expect them to still win their division, whereas the Red Sox, no.
The only team that's off the board is the Houston Astros. And by the way, I said to you guys back when this whole cheating thing came out, I said that there are people within the Red Sox organization who are worried about the possibility that Major League Baseball could vacate the World Series titles for the Red Sox and the Houston Astros, and that it was, to use BetOnline's analogy here, it was not off the table.
Yes.
Well, yesterday Rob Manfred told Fox Business, we are not going to strip these teams of their titles, but I can tell you that within the Red Sox organization...
They really were worried?
They were concerned. They didn't think it was likely.
Yeah.
But the fact is, they thought that it was at least being discussed.
I think if they did that, that is telling everybody, hey, don't watch. Right? They're already having an issue trying to get, you know, younger fans to enjoy baseball and all that other stuff. And if they found out that the World Series was essentially cheated and fixed, or not fixed, but that it wasn't on the up and up a couple years ago. And I think a lot of fans already have that feeling anyway, right, with everything that's gone out. But if you just flat out say, hey, we're stripping the World Series
title.
Could
you imagine?
Then I think there'd be like a
For two out of three seasons?
It'd be like, forget about it. People might kill the game. It might just bury the game after that.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We're going to talk some basketball with Kendrick Perkins, who is going to join us in just a few minutes. He is everywhere now. I mean, you see him on on The Jump.
Yeah, he was,
he's
in
got a radio.com podcast. Night. He's everywhere.
He was at the Zion Williamson debut last night.
We'll talk to him about that as well. We'll talk to Kendrick Perkins in just a few minutes. We'll get back to your calls on the other side. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.